Making Church Magazines. Have you ever wondered how your church magazine came to be? When you look at the magazine you are holding in your hands, do you wonder just who put it together and how it was done? Come along for an editor's tour of the church magazines to show how these publications are put together. As you read this magazine, planning has already begun for the magazine that is 1 year away. In preparing it, magazine editors will follow directions from several members of the 70 who share counsel from the Quorum of the 12 Apostles and the First Presidency on topics that need to be covered to help strengthen members. Based on the Brethren's counsel, articles are chosen or created. Planning an issue. Planning always begins with the Liahona, which is published in up to 51 languages. It is published monthly in 21 languages. In languages with lower numbers of subscribers, readers may receive the Liahona 4 or 6 times a year. Those languages with the fewest subscribers receive a magazine 1, 2, or 3 times a year. The Liahona includes articles for adults, youth, and children, a local section including, in part, news for members in their particular area of the church. Church leaders have asked that as nearly as possible, the content used in the Liahona match the content that is printed in the church's English-only magazines, The Ensign, New Era, and Friend. In planning monthly issues of the Liahona, editors prayerfully try to judge which articles are most needed by members worldwide. The choices of articles are reviewed by the general authorities who are advisors to the curriculum department. Putting it all together. On any given day of the year, magazine staff members will be preparing several different issues for coming months. These will be at different stages, from early planning to proofreading to on the presses for next month's issue. The church's printing center in Salt Lake City, Utah, prints the English-only magazines and most editions of the Liahona. Writing and editing of articles are completed about 8 months before the publication date for each issue of the magazine. However, if something develops in the next 3 or 4 months that must be covered in the church magazines, editors may pull out a scheduled article and replace it with a new one. All of the church magazines undergo review of their contents at more than one stage. After articles are edited, they are read by assigned reviewers, including a few members of the 70. Following this review, the approved text goes to staff graphic designers who design page layouts. They may choose existing photography and art, or may commission new photography and art. Because pages for the Liahona must accommodate expansion of the translated text in various languages, extra space is designed into each article. When the design is finished, the pages are reviewed by members of the 70 and one or more members of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles. The magazine production process includes about a month for translation of Liahona articles. Translators are church members who live all over the world. They exchange Liahona articles electronically with church headquarters. Getting magazines to you. The final designed proofs of the magazine pages are delivered to editors for proofreading. The pages are then sent electronically to the printing center 5 months before the issue date for the English Liahona, 2 months for other languages of the Liahona, and 2 months for the Ensign, New Era, and Friend. News sections of the Liahona go to press about 2 months before the issue date, and for the Ensign, about a month before the issue date. Printed magazines are bundled and shipped to areas outside the United States for distribution through various means, including local mail systems. Within the United States, they are mailed through the United States Postal Service. Magazines are sent to more distant areas first and mailed to readers in Utah last. Plans call for magazines to arrive by the first Sunday of the month for which they are dated, but this can sometimes vary. Now that you have this magazine in your hands, we hope you will find that it contributes to your spiritual growth. Articles might touch on physical health, finances, or other topics that we all have to deal with in this mortal life, but their primary purpose is to help strengthen you spiritually. If you have anything you want to say about the articles you read here, we will be glad to hear from you. If you would like to suggest ways we can do better in addressing your spiritual needs, we would like to hear about that too. Anything we can learn to help us serve readers better will benefit you and us as well. Knowing our audience, staff members who write and edit the articles for adults, for youth, and for children must keep in mind the basic differences among our readers. Those who produce articles for children know that between the ages of 6 and 12, children make great changes in their intellectual ability and their emotional growth. Editors understand that this is also happening as teenage readers mature. Those who produce articles for adults try to keep in mind that readers differ in ages, stages of life, and marital status. Add to this the complexity of addressing the needs of readers all over the world, and the task can seem daunting. While it is impossible to meet the needs of all readers in one issue, we make an effort through the issues of each year to provide useful, inspiring material for all of our readers at different stages of life or within an age group. Printing and distribution. The web press at the church's printing center in Salt Lake City can print from 8 to 64 pages on both sides of the paper, then cut and fold the printed pages into signatures, large multiple-page printed sheets that fold, forming the individual pages. The web press averages 30,000 impressions per hour. It operates 24 hours a day, Monday through Saturday, with four-person crews working on rotating shifts. Contributing your articles. Members often wonder how they can contribute to the church magazines. You can send us manuscripts on almost any topic, but you will probably notice that articles teaching the meaning of doctrine or the meaning of scriptures are usually written by general authorities. Your best opportunity to contribute to the magazines will be to write about your own spiritual insights or experiences. When you write about what you know and have experienced, your writing carries the weight of truth and authenticity. Please remember that what you write needs to be applicable in principle to readers in many nations and cultures. You might want to contact us to ask whether we would be interested in an article before you write it. That way, we can tell you whether the topic fits with the magazine's editorial plans. The postal address for the church magazines is Liahona, or Ensign, or New Era, or Friend, 50 East North Temple Street, room 2420, Salt Lake City, Utah, 84150-3220, USA. The email address is the name of the magazine followed by @ldschurch.org. For example, Liahona@ldschurch.org. The Liahona languages for 2008 are as follows: Albanian, Armenian, Bislama, Bulgarian, Cambodian, Cebuano, Chinese, Croatian, Czech, Danish, Dutch, English, Estonian, Fijian, Finnish, French, German, Greek, Haitian, Hindi, Hungarian, Icelandic, Indonesian, Italian, Japanese, Kiribati, Korean, Latvian, Lithuanian, Malagasy, Marshallese, Mongolian, Norwegian, Polish, Portuguese, Romanian, Russian, Samoan, Sinhala, Slovenian, Spanish, Swedish, Tagalog, Tahitian, Tamil, Telugu, Thai, Tongan, Ukrainian, Urdu, and Vietnamese. End of the article, Making Church Magazines.
Lessons from the Book of Mormon, Change and the Virtue of the Word, by Elder Keith R. Edwards of the 70. Change comes from within as we are moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Because of the power of the Word of God, the Scriptures teach us to feast upon the words of Christ, to experiment on the Word, to hold fast unto the Word, and to live by every word of God. As members of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints, we, like Jacob in the Book of Mormon, are to teach the Word of God with all diligence. In 1963, my missionary companion and I taught a young family of five in Albany, Georgia. After the third or fourth discussion, the wife told us that since we had started teaching them, she and her husband were closer, and he was treating her better than at any other time in their marriage. As we concluded the next discussion, the husband shared an experience. "Today the people I work with wanted to know what has happened to me," he related. When I asked them what they meant, they said, "You don't use the same language you used to use when you get angry, and you're more patient. You seem happier." The Book of Mormon helps us understand what Alma calls the virtue of the Word, and its power to help us change. When apostate practices had crept into the religious ceremonies of the Zoramites, they needed correction. And now, as the preaching of the Word had a great tendency to lead the people to do that which was just, yea, it had had more powerful effect upon the minds of the people than the sword, or anything else which had happened unto them, therefore Alma thought it was expedient that they should try the virtue of the Word of God. The doctrine of the restored gospel reminds us of the same principle. President Boyd K. Packer, president of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles, has taught, "True doctrine, understood, changes attitudes and behavior. The study of the doctrines of the gospel will improve behavior quicker than a study of behavior will improve behavior." As a bishop a number of years ago, I witnessed a dramatic change as the virtue of the Word of God came into the life of a young man. Sometime during his early teens, he had drifted from the church. A friend from high school, serving a mission thousands of miles away, wrote to his former classmate, bore testimony of the power and influence of the gospel in his life, shared some missionary experiences, and encouraged his friend to reclaim the peace and joy of the gospel. That testimony, reinforced by the Spirit and good memories of living the gospel when he was young, touched the young man. Another letter from his friend served as a second witness. Within a short time, the young man was in his bishop's office. He was eager to develop the traits that his friend had developed and to follow him into the mission field. The family we taught in the mission field and the young man who had strayed each experienced the virtue of the Word. In individual ways, they felt what the father of King Lamoni felt when he prayed, "O God, Aaron hath told me that there is a God, and if there is a God, and if thou art God, wilt thou make thyself known unto me, and I will give away all my sins to know thee." Nephi explained that the Word, or the message of the gospel, goes directly to the heart. "When a man speaketh by the power of the Holy Ghost, the power of the Holy Ghost carrieth it unto the hearts of the children of men." When Alma spoke of going to preach to the Zoramites, he mentioned the powerful effect of the Word, and concluded by saying that he and his brethren would try the virtue of the Word. The strength and power of the Word of the Gospel is demonstrated by the virtues it helps us develop. In the lives of the people I've mentioned, the influence of the Word was evident in their humility, submissiveness, gentleness, and willingness to act on the things they had been taught. The virtues of change came to the father as he developed a greater love and devotion for his wife and family, and as he disciplined his tongue. The young man manifested the virtues of change by his desire to repent and serve a mission. Many years of church service have taught me that no person has the power to change another. Change comes from within, as we are moved upon by the Holy Ghost. Others may motivate us to change, but the determination to change is generated by personal desire as we yield to the enticings of the Holy Spirit. Change does not always come dramatically. For most of us, progress comes line upon line, in a process that seems almost imperceptible. My mother made the following observation years ago. "You haven't always been the way you are," she told me. "I like what you have become." The virtue and power of the Word can have a profound influence on each of us. As we study, pray, exercise faith, repent, and work to do that which is just. End of the article, Lessons from the Book of Mormon, Change and the Virtue of the Word, by Elder Keith R. Edwards of the 70.
Latter-day Saint Voices, Samaritan with a Screwdriver, by Heidi Bartle. I was busy gathering my things after teaching a My Maid lesson, and my husband Gary stood in the back of the room holding our one-year-old boy. Our three-year-old son Zach slipped past us into the crowded hall and followed someone toward the meeting house doors. Because my husband and I each thought the other had Zach, it took us a few minutes to realize he was missing. Just as we realized he was gone, Zach appeared at the end of the hall. But something was wrong. His cheeks were red, he had tears streaming down his face, and he was clutching his right hand.
End of side 3. Turn the cassette over for side 4.